1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Everything we've been saying is in this chapter.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord knows what He's doing.
Yes, sir, He does.
Amen. Sometimes we don't know. Philip looked at him and said, how are we going to feed these 5,000?
Yep.
And the Lord said, ask him about how many it'd take to feed them. And it said, but he himself knew what he was going to do. I'm glad God knows, don't you?
Amen.
And glad God knows what's going on. I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this meeting. And flesh has felt overwhelmed trying to pray and to find God's will to preach, I guess, 7 messages maybe on a topic. I'm honored to get to do that, and it's been a challenge. It's helped me to dig more into the Word of God. And this is what I just could not get away from. And so I want to mind God. And Brother Philip teaching this morning goes right along with what the Lord has for us out of 1 John. And so we're going to try to preach out of these verses, but also go some other places here this week with a certain theme. So if nobody else has got anything, as we read, notice some of the things that's been said here this morning, testimony that's said here. 1 John 1, we're going to read these 10 verses. John said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness. And shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
That's what's going on this morning. Amen.
Right.
We have fellowship one with another. Somebody said, who's that talking about? He said our fellowship there in verse number 3, I believe it is. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. But I also believe that's talking about with the people of God. Amen.
Right.
And I believe we've had fellowship with God and His Son and each other this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for what You've done already in this service. And I thank You, God, for Your people magnifying and rejoicing, magnifying Your name, giving You the praise and the honor and the glory that You deserve. And I thank You, God, that as You said, that You inhabit Your praise. And I thank You, God, for You being here with us this morning. And I pray, God, that You would touch me, that You would help me with this message that You have laid upon my heart. I pray for Brother Jones as he comes later, God, that You would touch him and use him. Help us to be a help to this people for Your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And I want to look here at 1 John and look in these 10 verses through this week, and not just these 10 verses, but some other places that go along with a phrase I believe God has placed on my heart. And I believe it's very important for us to have this attitude in our life if we're going to continue to have joy and fellowship. And I believe that's what people have talked about. They've talked about the faithful God, how that God's been faithful to you. And in this text, the Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And notice what maybe an outline of 1 John chapter number 1, you'll find that the Bible is teaching us about God was manifest in the flesh. Or we could say Jehovah in flesh. John was dealing with a group called the Gnostics, and the word Gnosticism or Gnostic means knowledge, and maybe somebody in that, they thought they had a greater knowledge than even about what the scriptures had to say about God and what the apostles had said about God, and they had their own view about God. But the greatest way to know God this morning is to know His Son, amen, to know Him and be born again and have Him living inside of you. But listen, we're seeing a day where we have a so-called Christianity without the Bible, and we're seeing Christianity without the Word of God. People they don't believe in the God of the Bible, but Jesus was Jehovah in flesh, amen. John said in verse number 1, that which was from the beginning. I'm glad that God always has been, always will be. Jesus in the beginning, He was there. We know John chapter number 1, John's Gospel chapter number 1 said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The book of Genesis starts out with in the beginning, God. God didn't ask anybody, can I declare myself? Can I proclaim myself? He didn't try to explain Himself, but He said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Amen. And so you'll find that it starts out here, that which was from the beginning, and it's declared unto us, He said, which we have heard. Now John's talking about the same Lord that you and I are going to see in a tangible way one day. We're going to hear Him. We're going to see Him. We're going to feel Him, amen, by the grace of God. While He was here, John said to deal with that Gnostic heresy that Jesus was just a spirit floating around. But thank God, Jesus was a real man. He was God manifest in the flesh when He was here, amen. And so John dealt with that, telling them, we heard Him, we saw Him, we felt Him, we looked upon Him, amen. And so you'll find here Jehovah in flesh in verse number 1 and verse number 2. He said the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and showing you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now He's talking about a physical manifestation of the eternal life of God in His day. Amen. He saw that, and He wants us to, because of that, He wants us to have our journey of fellowship with this God. It's hard to divide this between the spiritual and the physical. You and I that are saved right now, we're enjoying spiritual fellowship with God. And one day we're going to have physical fellowship with Him. Isn't that right? But thank God we can have joy on the journey of fellowship with Almighty God. That's what's taking place here this morning. We can have joy on the journey of fellowship. And we'll find here there's fullness of joy. I'm trying to lay this out this morning. Y'all pray for me. I wrote down so much stuff. I'm praying. I said, God, You just lay it out there however people need it. So the outline of John chapter, 1 John chapter number 1 is Jehovah in flesh. God in flesh. They talked with Him. They heard Him. They listened. They heard the voice of Almighty God. You and I, we don't do that right now. Peter said, though now we see Him not, yet rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's why we can rejoice this morning. There's nobody sitting here this morning that has ever seen Jesus with your physical eye. There's nobody that's really heard Jesus with an audible ear. I'm glad it's even more real than that, thank God, by the Holy Ghost. I know that I've heard God. I've never handled Him, but I'm going to one day. I mean, when He come out of that resurrection, He wanted them to know He wasn't dead. He said, you got any broiled fish or any honeycomb? And He said, what He was saying to him is, can a dead man do this? I'm telling you, a dead man can't give you joy like Jesus can. You can't fellowship with a dead man like you can with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He's alive and well. A dead man can't walk with you and talk with you and tell you you're His own. Amen. But I'm glad we have a living Lord this morning. And He wants us to rejoice in Him. There's joy and fullness in this chapter. Joy in fullness. Brother Philip talking about this morning, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and the Bible said against such there is no law. And so thank God for these truths here in the Word of God. And this is the way the Christian life ought to be, amen, and we could rejoice in it. And I've not seen joy in a lot of places in a long time like we've seen this morning, amen. And so here's the bad news. What I want to deal with in this text, he goes on talking about this and saying that he wants you to have fullness of joy and fellowship, and he wants it to be great, amen. But he says here in verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I tell you how we can have more joy in the Christian life, how we can have more fellowship with God, how we can have joy and fellowship on our journey and experience the forgiveness of God in our life is to deal with sin in our life. Amen. And I believe he's dealing with these things, and he's... What I want to preach on, notice what it says in verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it says in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I want to deal with all of this, but this phrase caught my attention. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned. Amen. He says we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So the phrase, and there's different places in the Word of God, God evidently wants to say, I have sinned. Y'all see that? If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. God wants us to say, I have sinned. And I'm going to deal maybe with that phrase, but here's what I want to deal with that phrase for, because God wants the confessing, cleansing, and conquering of sin in the believer's life. Say, why, preacher? So he can't have fun? If you have fun in sin, you better make sure you are a child of God. Hey, I'm glad there's joy in serving God, aren't you? I'll tell you what's hindered my joy and my fellowship with Almighty God and kept me from the fullness of joy is the problem that I have with this old sinful flesh. But I'm glad, thank God, there's a way to deal with it. We can confess it to God. We can be cleansed in the sight of God, and we can conquer different sins in our life. Now, we're never going to be able to completely do away with sin in our life. And in this life, one writer said, in this life, we can never say, I am not able to sin. Y'all hear that? We can never say, I'm not able to sin. But we can say, I am able not to sin. That's important. And I'm talking to believers here this morning for the most part. I believe more sinners would get saved if we had the fullness of joy. I believe more sinners would get saved if we sought God's forgiveness, if we sought God's fellowship, and that was that life that was manifest unto us, that we had manifested unto others. And so how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by confessing and getting cleansing and conquering sin in our life. It amazes me the sin that I see in Christians' lives. Amazes me, and I'll just be honest with you, the sin that I find out that my flesh is still capable of committing. Amen. I don't believe obviously in sinless perfection, but I'm telling you, I believe in perfecting away from sin, perfecting in holiness. I didn't mean to kill the meeting, y'all right? Amen. And I thank God, I believe for the joy that was in this church this morning. There's some people striving to be right with God on a daily basis. So I guess this is like teach preaching this week. I'm going to slow down, speed up, however God has the gear. But let me say this, and there's a man, I believe a lot of ways he's a heretic, not just cause he uses perverted Bibles, but he says, this man named Bob George, I don't know if you ever heard of him, he has a radio broadcast all over the United States, and a lot of people listen to him, but he says, especially about 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says that we ought to ignore this Bible verse, that this is obviously not talking about saved people, and he takes that word we there in the book of 1 John and applies it to the Gnostics. No, this is applied to the children of God. Hey, John wasn't a Gnostic, and he wouldn't have called himself we with a group like that. He defined himself as a child of God, and the one that had been dwelt by Almighty God. He says we should just ignore this verse. He said most likely it wasn't in the original manuscript and all the things like that. I'm glad I got a book that I can live my life by every word of it. He said this is the way he studied the Bible. If it didn't line up with the rest of the Bible, he'd just throw it out. Now what he meant was if it didn't line up with his view of the Bible and his ideas of his own flesh and mind as a heretic, then you can just throw it out. I'm glad, thank God, for the verbal inspiration of the Word of God and the plenary inspiration of the Word of God. And I'm glad this morning that this verse, now I wish I didn't have to have 1 John 1:9. I wish I didn't have to have that. But dear friend, it is in the Word of God. And God put it there where we can have forgiveness and fullness of joy and fellowship with Him. When I first got called to preach, it wasn't nothing to go to meeting, and more times than not seemed like, and I understand outward manifestations may not really be a sure sign of the presence of God. There's a lot of outward manifestations in this day that doesn't line up with this book. But I wonder if the reason that so many people are going after this false joy, going after this false forgiveness, is if God's people are not dealing with their sin and expressing the fullness of joy in their life. You and I got a sin problem, amen. And we need to deal with that sin problem, have greater joy. So that's my objective in preaching this week. Let me say it again, the confessing, cleansing, and conquering of our sin as believers. I'll just say it again, I like how he said it. We cannot say, I am not able to sin. You've been saved very long. You find out about the capabilities. I understand the song, the old man is dead. But I'm telling you, he's alive and well in reality. And you got to deal with him. I thank God for that verse, Brother Hall, you quoted. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And hey, that's also in here. He says you're going to believe in God by faith, the living Lord. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm glad he gave himself for me. And you know what I want to do? I want to be right with God and give myself unto him. That's what will make the difference. Amen. So, 1 John 3, I'm glad, thank God, we're going to be like him one day. But the more I look at him, the more I look in the Word of God, I find out how much I'm still not like him. 1 John 3 said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I don't know if this is proper Greek or English or what. When I see that word, behold, there's something in me that says, looky, looky. Amen. There's something in me that says, behold, what manner of love. There's something in me that says, behold this love. Or look at this love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And that comes with confessing sin. That same man said, if we confess our sins, he said at 1 John 1:9 is right, and we confess our sins, we'll live our life in guilt and misery and all of that. If you're a child of God, you ought to live in guilt, and you ought to live in misery, and I ought to live in misery if we're letting sin go on in our life.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
God wants us dead but alive. Amen. You'll find that over in Romans chapter number 6. And I'll deal with that maybe some more later. But it goes on. John says here in 1 John, if we say. Don't live your life on what you say, what you think, but what the Word of God has to say.
Amen.
He says here in verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And he's saying this because in verse number 5, he says, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
There's a lot of people saying they're walking with God, they're fellowshipping with God, but they walk in outright blatant darkness. He said something about the darkness he is walking in, and God brought light into his life. Hey, thank God for the light that this crowd here has seen. I wasn't raised in church. I'm glad people took me to the house of God, and God shined light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. But listen, it's a light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I wrote this down about this verse, verse number 5, and it says God is light. He is light, so anywhere he walks, it dispels darkness.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That makes sense? He is light, so anywhere he walks, it dispels darkness. Let me say it, and anyone around him walking with him, it'll dispel that darkness, or it'll display that darkness that's in their life. Does that make sense this morning? I mean, the more we walk in the light of the Word of God, the more we walk in the light of fellowship with God. You ever found out you're like who you hang around with? I'm finding out how much my flesh is not like God, but thank God the inward man wants to be more like God. We need that in this day. And we got to be willing to deal with our sin as children of God. So it says here in verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declaring you that God is light, and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so the first, if we say, lets us know, he's saying if we say, because verse number 6 about the fellowship, there's shining deity, I'll call it. God is light. That's how I knew I got saved. God shed some light on my dark ways.
Yes, sir.
I mean, hey, I didn't change immediately. Didn't start knowing everything immediately. I thank God for God's grace to grow in and all of that. But I remember just as a 13-year-old boy went back to school, I ain't even admitted, but there were some ways maybe I was touching girls at school, not in a vulgar way, but just maybe touching them on the shoulder. That's all it was. And seemed like the Holy Ghost said, and I hadn't even heard much preaching about not to touch a woman, fornication, and all of that. I hadn't even heard that, and maybe it wasn't just touch somebody on the shoulder. I'm not necessarily saying it is, but I tell you, God told me that day by the Holy Ghost, and I hadn't heard much preaching about it, but I thank God. I mean, God warned me, and he let me know that that was darkness, and he shed light on it in my life. Does that make sense? That's the best way I know how to describe it. There's no darkness at all. You walk with somebody who's perfect and sinless, and they'll have an effect on your life. You walk with somebody who lives in sin, even if you're a child of God, it'll have an effect on your life. You ever noticed, I can always tell a lot of times, and she may be listening to the radio, but I know when my wife's talking to certain friends, and I know when I'm talking to certain friends, I'll start saying things they say, and even my wife, sometimes I can tell because there's certain things she says to certain friends, and sometimes she'll say it like they say it, amen? And I just noticed that about me as a human being. Hey, I want to talk more with him. I want to fellowship more with him. I want to be like him even more and more.
Yes, sir.
But I got a problem, sin.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I want to confess it. I want to get cleansed. I want to do my best to conquer it.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, this morning that God is faithful. He's just. Not only do we see Jehovah in flesh, we see the journey and fellowship in this chapter, and the joy in fullness is available. But thank God, God is just in faithful forgiveness to us.
Amen.
He's justified in it.
Yep.
Hey, you know your own self this morning. You know what you still are even after you've been born again. Ain't you glad God's been faithful to forgive you and help you on down the road? Amen, Brother Hall. Ain't you glad he's been faithful and just to forgive us? And by the way, John's not condoning sin here. After this, he says in chapter number 2, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not.
Right.
He said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So he didn't write these things that we sin, but that we sin not.
Amen.
So this morning, you ever heard it? Let me give you these since we're preached teaching. If you pray for me, God let me bring it out how he wants.
Amen.
So in verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, there's a shining deity to dispel that in our life.
Right.
God is light. There's no darkness at all
right.
in him. Not only that, verse number 8 tells us if we say, there it is again, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There's self-deception
right.
in this crowd that thinks they don't sin anymore after they get saved.
Right.
And let me just say it again, I'm not condoning sin. I'm trying to encourage us not to sin and to deal with that sin.
Right. Amen.
That fellow Bob George, he said, looked to sum it up this morning. I'd heard him on the radio for years down there in Nashville, and thank God they stopped supporting him. Somebody, he'd always get every other call, they'd ask him, why do you believe that about 1 John 1:9? That it's talking about the Gnostics need to get saved. And he said, because it just don't line up. God forgave us of all of our sins. God, and thank God, he gave us of past, present, and future sins in Christ. And we're seen as clean in the sight of God. But daily mortifying, dealing with sin in our life. Paul said, I die daily. And thank God for the chastening hand of God.
Amen.
He said this whenever they ask him, why do you do that? They said, well, what do we do when we sin? He said, just ignore it.
Oh,
just ignore it and say, thank God that I'm under grace.
Huh.
I'm glad this morning where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, amen. But I'm telling you, that grace also abounds to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. There's self-deception. You know your own self this morning. But above all of it, there's scripture declaration. Verse number 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God, it says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I don't believe that's talking about we're not saved. I'm telling you, I was saved for a long time. And I hate to admit this, for about 10 years of my life, I rarely read the Bible. The truth of God wasn't in me as much as it could be. I mean, the Word of God was not in me as much as it could be. And listen, when you get the truth of God's Word in your life, it'll help you deal with sin in your life. You'll have to deal with it. First John there tells us, we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. Well, let me say it like this. I've heard it said, we've all heard it said, well, you know you've repented because you keep on repenting.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, the more light you get, the more darkness goes away in your life.
Right.
Or at least the desire to get away from darkness.
Right.
But I've never thought about it like this. I believe we know we have confessed because we keep on confessing.
Right.
Would that be right? I'm glad I don't need a pope. I got a great high priest.
Amen.
But I'm an individual priest. God's made me a part of a royal priesthood. Isn't that right? Individual priesthood. But I got a great high priest. Amen. There is a time to stand up in front of the church and confess your faults one to another. But thank God, I don't need a pope. I don't need a priest. I got a great high priest in heaven. I'm glad I can hold on to the profession of my faith and know that I'm saved, not casted away, because I can't lose it. The Bible said in Hebrews 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That tells me I still need mercy in this life because of my sin. I want to deal with it, don't you? I want to deal with that sin that pierced the hands of my Lord. I mean, every wicked thing I've ever touched, His hands were pierced because of that. Every wicked place I've ever went, I mean, even some of them, I'm sad to say, after I was saved by the grace of God, His feet were pierced for that. Every wicked thought I ever had, His brow was pierced by the cursed thorns on the cursed tree. But for me, amen, to save me, and it makes me drive in my life to get sin out of my life.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I believe we know we've confessed because we keep on confessing. And we know we've been cleansed when we keep cleansing and being cleansed by our Father.
Amen.
I may read a lot. I don't know how the Lord did all this, but let me say it again. And we know we've been cleansed when we keep on cleansing and being cleansed by our Father. Verse 7 said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth, continue, amen, cleanseth us from all sin. So God says in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Do you know how you and I got saved? We had to come to God, may not these exact words, but out of our heart saying, I have sinned against God. Amen. I've sinned against God. We're not saved by our own will this morning. But belief in the Son of God brought a birth into our life.
Amen.
I was talking to a lady up here at the store. Y'all pray for her at the Hucks. And this morning you don't find very many people admitting they're lost. So you get a chance to go up here to Hucks. There's a lady up there. And I can't remember her name, but I'll tell you more about her effort. But she said, are you going to church this morning? I said, yeah, we're on the way to church. And I said, we're having Bible conference this week. You ought to come. And I said, ma'am, have you ever been born again? And I thought maybe at first seemed like the devil said, don't ask her if she'd been born again. She's asking you about going to church. She's working on Sunday. But I said, have you been born again? She said, no. And she's kind of looking at me like, what is that?
Right.
And I got to tell her about, listen, you was born the first time a sinner, and you was born physically a sinner with a spiritual death, but God will give you life.
Amen.
She is listening. You pray for her. Amen.
Amen.
The God of His own will birthed us into the family of God.
Amen.
Bible said in John chapter 1, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Even them that believe on His name, which were born. Belief on Jesus Christ, on Him, on the Word. It says, even them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so, we're born of His own will. James chapter number 1, verse number 18 said, of His own will begot He us with the word of truth. That goes back to where it says in verse 8, the truth is not in us. Verse number 10, His Word is not in us. Again, I don't believe that's talking about an unsaved person and we lose our salvation. But the more we get the truth and the more we get God's Word in us and confess our sins, the more we can be right with God. But it'll start by saying, I have sinned. God's own will. Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth. It wasn't by the will of the flesh or the will of man or the will of God, but it was by the will of God. Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth.
Amen.
Then you'll see in Romans 8:8 it says God, it says His own will. You know what God's own will was willing to do for you and I? And let me say before I go further, I believe the greatest incentive, and I'm going to deal with this the rest of it to be done, the greatest incentive for us to perfect holiness, the greatest incentive for us to confess and get cleansed and try to conquer sin in our life is His great salvation that He's given unto us. He delivered us from sin. Romans 8 verse 1, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's therefore now no condemnation of them in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law cannot do, and that it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in His own Son. That's what I want to focus on. It says of His own will begot us because God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
That righteousness is fulfilled inside of us, so when God sees us, we're righteous in His sight. Eternally.
Amen.
But I want to be that way earthly, I guess you'd say. I want to be that way every day in the sight of God. Romans 8:32, this is what God's own will begot us. God's own will so God could beget us. He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Say, why would God do that? Because He wanted to spare you and me. He wanted to spare us and pardon us. But Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son. I'm dealing with that. His own will begot us. He sent His own Son. He spared not His own Son. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all.
Amen.
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 Then you'll find in Revelation or Acts chapter number 20, it talks about the church which He hath purchased with His own blood. Revelation 1:5, it says over Revelation 1:5, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood.
Amen.
I'm glad God took care of that part of sin in my life.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm headed to heaven this morning. But on the way, it's my job, amen, to confess and be cleansed and conquer sin in my life. Say, why? I want that forgiveness and not that guilt. Amen. That fellow I was telling you about said it just makes people guilty to the point of suicide. Tell them that 1 John 1:9 is about confessing our sins as believers. I'm telling you, I'm sad to say, living in this flesh and dealing with it, I've had to come back to God, amen, and confess and get it cleansed and say, God, help me to conquer that. By the grace of God, there's been some things. I say conquer, I don't mean eradicate or do away with it, but there's some things God's helped me overcome in my life. It took years for some of it. I mean, and that's my goal in this message this week, is to deal with those things. Second Corinthians 7:1-7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say a few places here this morning, two more places, and I'll be done. And this phrase where it says, I have sinned. You remember that prodigal son over there in Luke chapter number 15? The Bible said there was a man who had two sons. I believe all of Luke chapter number 15 is a lost chapter.
Right.
I believe everything in there is a lost chapter.
Yep.
It deals in Luke 15 with publicans and sinners as compared to the Pharisees and the scribes.
Right.
Amen?
Yep.
Turn your Bible over there and we'll look at this. Luke chapter number 15. And then we're going to go to Luke 18 and we'll be done this morning. Luke chapter number 15. Luke 15 verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Hey, I like it when even the devil preaches the truth, don't you? Amen. I'm glad, thank God for that.
Amen.
So the context of this is Jesus showing the Pharisees and the scribes that their self-righteousness is not what's going to get them into heaven. It's not what's going to gain them a favor in the sight of the Father. Amen. The Pharisees and scribes, mostly Jews there, and God's dealing here, the publicans and sinners. I mean, there's probably Jews and Gentiles, wouldn't that be right? And so there's a difference here what he's dealing with, but he's showing them what they need to say is what this prodigal son said, what we call him, I have sinned.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
We see a younger son who says, I have sinned. He said, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. But we see an elder son that says, I have not sinned.
Yep. Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Now I understand the context of this verse, and some people preach the prodigal son saved, some preach him lost. I believe he's lost.
Yes.
I believe the elder son's lost. One's rebelliously lost out in a field of wickedness, and one's religiously lost out in a field of wheat. He's been out there in the field, hadn't he? What are you this morning? Whether you're rebelliously lost and living in wickedness, God will save you. If you're religiously lost, God will save you if you'll come saying, I have sinned. He said, I've sinned against heaven, first of all. And he said, in thy sight.
Right.
Let me just give you a little side note on that. Moms and dads, if we, our children will be likely to view how God sees sin on how we see sin. They seeing you getting down and crying out to God and asking Him to forgive you. See, you deal with sin in your life and say, God, amen.
Right.
Y'all pray for me that God will put all this together. Is it saying something to you this morning?
Yes, sir.
Just kind of laying the groundwork, but that's how I got saved, amen. I'm saying, I have sinned.
That's right.
I've sinned. I believe this picture of salvation is a picture of salvation here in the life of this man here. You know what? And it's not just saying it. He said, I will arise and go to my Father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Bible says in verse number 20, and he arose.
Yep.
Maybe you need to do that this morning.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Maybe you need to do that this morning. Arise. And he said, I'll arise and go. He arose and came to his Father.
Amen.
Maybe you need to come to the Father this morning and say, I have sinned and be born again. Maybe you've done that, and maybe you need to rise and come to the altar. Maybe you need to rise and come to a brother. You need to rise and go to a sinner and tell him about Jesus Christ. I don't know what the sin is in our life.
Right.
I say we ought to confess it and get it right.
Amen.
Amen. So, you'll find that phrase, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight and no more to be called thy son. I'm glad that day when I done that. Boy, you ever noticed how willing the Father was for him to be saved? I mean, he didn't even get through all of his spiel. I mean, God wasn't necessarily worried about his words. He knew where this Father wasn't worried about his words. He knew where his heart was because he came to him. Amen. He said in verse 20, he arose and came to his Father when he was yet a great way off. His Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You imagine here he is instead of putting his foot on his neck and condemning him and saying, kill him, do away with him. Thank God he starts his spiel down there while his Father's kissing him, and he says in verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight and no more to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. I'm glad I got the best robe this morning in the sight of God.
Amen.
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 God ain't much concerned about what we saved. He's concerned about what he has said. Amen. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and no more will they be called thy son. Look at Look over here in Luke 18 and I'll be done this morning. Luke 18. Verse number 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You don't find the phrase right there, I have sinned, but you find him saying it, amen.
Right.
He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
I'm saying the greatest incentive of confessing and getting our sin cleansed and conquering in our life is how that God's done that for us eternally.
Amen.
We said, I have sinned. The Pharisee, he said, I have not sinned. He said, I am not as other men are. We're all the same. Amen. Amen. He said, look at what I do. He said, look at what I do not do. He said, give me what I think I deserve. Boy, I sure am glad I didn't get what I deserve. I'm glad that night, Brother Hall, I come to him saying, I have sinned. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I come to him saying, I have sinned. I'm glad he didn't give me what I deserve, but I'm glad that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins came where I was at and cleansed me of every stain. Amen. But Adam left some old stains on this flesh. Amen. So this morning, I can rejoice. This Pharisee and a publican. The Pharisee said, I have not sinned. Look what I do. Look what I do not do. I am not as other men are. The publican said, I have sinned. God be merciful to me, a sinner, and don't give me what I deserve.
Right. Amen.
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 I'm glad. Ever since that night at 3 a.m. in the morning, I've went home justified.
Amen.
How are you going to go home this morning? You know you're saved. You're going to go home justified in the sight of God. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Amen.
And so tonight, this morning, whatever time it is, amen, that's the thought out here, 1 John 1, that I want to build on, and I want to look at times of and believers' lives in the Word of God. I think about how that David said when Nathan come to him, I have sinned.
That's right.
He is a believer. Nathan said, God's put away your sin, but he said, you're going to have to reap what you've sown. You look down through, and this is what I'm going to deal with, the Lord willing, about this thought on I have sinned. Let me pull out my notes here, dealing with David's life and dealing with Saul. Saul said, I have sinned. Nehemiah said, I and my people have sinned. On down through there, we can go. We're going to look at these things and deal with them. Adam said, I have sinned. On down through there. So you pray for me. God, help me to put it together a little better than I did this morning. All right? Hope you got something out of this morning. But I believe that God help us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. Let's stand this morning if you would. Ask the piano player to come. Maybe as we're looking into these services, this Bible conference, looking into the Word of God, maybe you're here lost and you're not going to go home justified. Ain't it good to be justified in the sight of God?
Amen.
Be just with God. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Do you need to come? While they play, you need to come. Maybe this morning while everybody else was rejoicing,